I'm Griffin Marie, and welcome to UBS's Top of the Morning podcast. It's Friday, and that means it's time for the week in review and preview. Today, we'll discuss the latest key jobs data from the U.S. Labor Department, the ongoing dynamics between the U.S. and China, updates on a potential Phase 4 stimulus bill, and a preview of what's coming up next week. Joining me today is Brian Rose, Senior Economist for the Chief Investment Office, and today is Friday, August 7th, 2020. Brian, thanks for joining us and welcome back to Top of the Morning.
Thanks, Griffin. Good morning, everyone.
So, Brian, I know there's several topics we want to touch base on today. So to start off here, we received some economic data points this week. The economy added 1.8 million jobs in July, according to today's Bureau of Labor and Statistics report, and initial claims of unemployment fell below consensus estimates. What are your takeaways from this week's readings pertaining to labor markets?
So the data was more or less in line with consensus, maybe slightly better. I mean, honestly, there wasn't really consensus about what the payroll number would be. Numbers were all over the place. Some people thought it might be down month on month because some of the high frequency indicators that relate to the employment, showed a decline. And other people thought we'd have a much higher number than this. So this was more or less near the average of expectations. To put it into perspective, in March and April, when we shut the economy down, we lost 22 million payrolls, and now we've gotten 9 million back. So we're still down 13 million payrolls from where we were before the pandemic hit. And it may be hard to continue to see these rapid gains in employment unless the situation with the pandemic improves. And one thing that would help a lot is reopening the schools. So, we're starting to see some states already schools reopening, and we have to see how that goes. If they can successfully reopen the schools without having a big increase in number of COVID cases, then that would be a help because it allows some of the parents who don't have access to daycare. A lot of daycare centers are closed. If you can open the schools, it allows at least a couple million more people to get back to work because their kids have some place to go during the day. So we have to follow that carefully. I would say though that this is, if you think about where we were a couple of months ago, I'd say adding 9 million jobs is really at the very high end of expectations. Most people were not expecting the jobs to come back this quickly.
Sure. And as a corollary to that question, what are some other economic data releases from this week that you want to provide some color on today?
Yeah, so this week we had the ISM surveys. Both the manufacturing and non-manufacturing came in a bit better than expected. And you have to keep in mind, though, that these are measuring whether things are getting better or worse. It doesn't tell us in an absolute sense if conditions are good or bad. I mean, the economy is very weak, but improving. So that's why you see the ISM numbers coming in well above 50, is that conditions are at least improving. We're continuing to come off of the bottom. The one concern that came out of those reports is the employment index in both manufacturing and non-manufacturing still way below 50. So it's a bit hard to reconcile the fact that we've had this extremely strong job growth, but the ISM still has kind of depressed employment number. Again, to me, it suggests that it's going to be hard to get back to normal on unemployment. So we have seen rapid rebound. A lot of people have gotten their jobs back, but still a extremely weak labor market overall. And it doesn't sound like employment will rebound to the pre-pandemic level anytime soon. One other thing I should mention is we had vehicle sales for July, and this was quite a strong number. So if you account for the fact that rental cars are way down, fleet sales are very low because people aren't renting cars. But just in terms of ordinary consumers buying cars, this is more or less back to normal levels. So I'd say that's it's also a positive sign. People are going out and making these big ticket purchases.
Absolutely. And just to shift attention to our nation's capital, we know negotiations of the Phase 4 stimulus proposal are still underway, with some key differences Republicans and Democrats have on the scale and scope of the bill yet to be ironed out. What would this bill mean to the economy and the markets?
Yeah, I think it's impossible to overstate how important this package is. So, we're talking about how many jobs have come back. A lot of that is because of fiscal support. So we had the PPP program pumped in more than $500 billion. You had the government sending out cash checks, the enhanced unemployment benefits. All of that has allowed the economy to keep going and for businesses and for individuals to keep spending money, even though, economic activity is way below normal and incomes have fallen a lot. So that government money has helped to make up for, the lack of revenues and income. And, if you look at the data, household income has actually risen since the pandemic started. So the government has replaced more than the income that was lost because of the, high unemployment. All this is very important for maintaining the gains that we've had in the economy. Without this package, the economy will very quickly start to go backwards again. You'll see businesses laying off their workers. You'll see lots of people losing their housing. And it's absolutely critical that this package be passed soon. But we are, despite the seeming lack of progress so far, we are optimistic that we'll end up with a package around $1.5 trillion that should pass within the next few days. And the way to think of it is that, all the politicians anxious to go home and campaign for the election, today was meant to be the last day of this session of Congress. Obviously, that's being pushed back. But the pressure to reach a deal will just grow exponentially every day that this goes on, because, again, everyone wants to go and campaign. So, we do think that they will reach a deal soon, and it should be big enough to keep the economy going, at least, until the election's out of the way.
Right. And another public policy issue facing lawmakers is the bilateral economic relationship between the U.S. and China, which is once again in the headlines this week. Do you have any thoughts on the recent developments in that space?
Yeah, so this is sort of in line with what we've been saying all along, which is that the U.S.-China relationship and the frictions there go way beyond just the trade and the trade deficits and tariffs. So this is a long-term issue that will not suddenly disappear. Say if Vice President Biden wins the election, these problems are not going away. There are real national security issues that are involved, and we think that neither side wants to walk away from the Phase 1 deal. So we expect that to stay in place. And again, even if Biden wins the election, that deal or something similar to it will probably remain in place. But you still have these very serious issues, especially around technology, which is what we've been seeing recently, friction on that, and all these other national security issues. So this is going to be with us, we think, for the long run, and something that we have to keep an eye on, because these are the two largest economies in the world, and this kind of friction just makes it harder for the global economy to perform at its best. So this is the bilateral relationship, very important, but also you can see it's going to be a very contentious for a long time.
Thanks, Brian. And by way of a final question here, what are some economic topics and news investors should pay attention to over the next week?
Well, obviously, we're waiting for the the fiscal package to be signed, and that should happen next week. And beyond that, we have a lot of very important economic data, including the retail sales for July. So, consumer spending is most of the economy, and because so much income is being provided by the government, we have seen a good pickup in retail sales, and we should see a further increase in July. Although some of the high frequency data, things like credit card usage, suggests that maybe things have slowed a bit. So, sometimes it's been hard to predict this data, and we just have to see what the retail sales shows. And then you have other key indicators, including industrial production, CPI. So we had 3 months of deflation when the pandemic hit, but now it seems that we're getting a rebound in some of the prices that went down before, just because there's a rebound in demand. And then finally, we have the NFIB survey of small businesses. This is really critical because they have such an important role in the economy, and especially in the labor market. So we're interested to see what are small businesses are doing, what are they saying about their intentions to continue to rehire workers.
We'll certainly be monitoring those developments as the U.S. continues to recover from the economic fallout of COVID-19 and navigates the changing dynamics of its relationship with China. But for now, Brian, thanks for sharing your insights across the topics we discussed today.
Thanks very much.
And again, we've been joined by Brian Rose, Senior Economist Americas for the Chief Investment Office. Top of the Morning will return next week. So thanks everyone for tuning in, and have a great day and weekend.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.